This morning I'm going to announce that in 2 weeks we're going to have an information meeting Sunday night, October the 21st at 7 o'clock here about going to the Holy Land next year, next October, November. If you are in the least bit interested in that, Mark and Sheila Bagwell will be here to talk about this possibility for us. Mark and Sheila, Mark especially has led 19 trips. This will be his 20th trip to the Holy Land. And it'll be a well-guided trip along us 11 days, actually 9 days there, one day over, one day back. So I want to invite you to be praying about it, as I have. It's on our bucket list, and we really would like to do this as a church. And if we get enough, it'll just be our church. And so if you're interested, just find out about it. It's no obligation. It's 2 weeks, October 21st. For our guests and others, we are walking through the book of Luke. Today we're going to enter into chapter 5. There are four encounters that Jesus has that are recorded in the book of Luke in chapter 5. The one we'll talk about today is it's actually a second encounter that's written about Jesus and his encounter with Peter. But Andrew and James and John and others are there, and the effect on Peter has an effect on their life also. We will later talk about the man with the leprosy, who is diseased and rejected. We will talk about the one with palsy who was paralyzed and forgotten. And then end with Levi, the tax collector, the one that everybody said was a sinner that Jesus ate with. If you watched the video, that's a good thing. If we are eating with sinners, not doing what the sinners do, but to be a part of their lives to help reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a good thing. So that's where we're going to be as we kind of walk through this. Today we're going to talk specifically about Peter and going to try to apply it to our church in the area of evangelism, of all things, as we reach out and make a difference. Now, Jesus has already called Peter, as well as Andrew and James and John, and maybe many others. Of the disciples, there are at least seven of them that are fishermen. But it appears that this hasn't become a full-time thing in their life up to this point, because they've gone back to fishing, and that's what we're going to read about. But in this encounter, on this particular day, when Jesus Christ calls them once and for all, everything will be different. Everything will be clearer. Everything will become more eternal. I think that was the gist of the video that we just watched, is that there is an eternal element to what we do after we worship and leave this place and go into the world to make a difference. In its simplest form, this story in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, can be broken down into two parts. One is the part where Jesus preaches the sermon from the boat. And in chapter 4, verse 43, it says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God." That's what we talked about last week. And then the second part is when Jesus summons them on the boat, summons them into his presence, summons them to experience his greatness. And the king, chapter 5, verse 10, he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will become fishers of men." If you have your Bible, follow with me in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. So some time has transpired. We get the impression from Luke's writing that this is the next day, but down the road, after Jesus is beginning to minister and all the miracles that he's doing are being experienced and people are encountering him and the word is spreading. So it says, one day, you could say later, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding all around him and listening to the word of God. It must have been at the beach there, and it must have been a crowd of people gathering, and he was being pressed by them, and people wanted to know more, people wanted to be healed, people wanted to hear about the word of God. And so it says in verse 2 that he saw at the water's edge two boats. Two boats left there by the fishermen, who were now washing their nets. So while Jesus is talking, the fishermen are there on the side of the lake, and they're cleaning their nets. They're taking out the dross. They're getting rid of the seaweed. They're kind of rinsing them out and laying them out so that they'll dry properly. And if they don't do those things, the nets will weaken quicker and be useless to them. So they've obviously spent their day or their night, as we will see, doing what they do. And now they're just kind of cleaning things up. And Jesus is there and he's preaching. So it says in verse 3, he got into one of the boats. This one belonging to Simon. That's Peter. And he asked Peter to put out just a little ways from the shore. Not way out there, let's just go out here a little ways. Just a little bit. Thrust out just a little bit. And then he sat down there in the boat and he taught the people from the boat. It's quite an experience. So the people aren't going to wade out into the water at this point, but they are going to kind of settle down. Maybe they sit on the beach. Maybe it's a cove. We don't get the full picture, but the people are close enough that they can hear what Jesus has to say. Verse 4. And so when he had finished talking and sharing the things that he was going, he looks to Peter. He says, "Simon, now put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now I've heard that preached from different perspectives over a few years. Some people will preach it from, he's excited. "Yeah, okay, Lord, you said it, let's go." I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's worn out. He says, "All right, let's do it." So verse 6 says, "So when they had done so, when they'd gone out to the deep, when they let down their nets, it says they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And so when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, and look at what he says. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Where have you heard that before? When he healed and released the demon from the men that he had healed earlier in Luke. Same statement, same comment. See, when a person is lost, there's an evil spirit within us. We may be the nicest person on the face of this earth, but if we're lost and out of the will of God, there's an evil spirit within us. But when Jesus arrives in their life, they recognize the presence of God and they know it within themselves. They know their sinfulness and they know that it's time to confess. Amen. So he fell at his knees. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Now these are veteran fishermen. They did this every day of their lives. And the scripture says, according to Luke, they were astonished at what had just happened and the amount of fish. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners, who obviously were in the other boat that he waved over, and they came. And so then it says that Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid anymore. For now you will fish for people. You will become a fisher of men." And so they pulled their boats up to shore. They left everything behind and they followed him. The moment of decision in their life had arrived, and there they were, followers of Jesus. Fishermen, fishers of men. Now what did Jesus see in Peter? That's a really good question. What does he see in us? What did Peter have to offer Jesus? What could Peter do for Jesus that Jesus couldn't already do for himself? I may shock you with my answer. The answer is absolutely nothing. You and I have nothing Jesus needs. But he saw in Peter a light. Now, we know Peter had to grow. Peter was a rough man. But he saw in him courage. The courage of a fisherman to go out into the sea and to fish and face the elements. Even at night, he saw in him patience. So sometimes you have to wait a long time to catch a few fish. He saw in him determination to go back and to go back. Even in this story, nevertheless, I'll go out there again if that's what you want, Lord. He saw in him faith that God was in control, that God would be ultimately the one who would save him. And he saw within Peter the ability that God had already given him. And God has given us all the ability to do the very same things. To work together, to work under harsh conditions, to finish the task, to reach out into the community and do a great thing. I've been on several deep sea fishing boats over my lifetime, maybe 5 or 6. Most of the time we go out, get sick, throw up, try to eat crackers. We don't catch much. That's been that's been what's happened for me on every occasion but one. When I was a child, Daddy, we were vacationing in Myrtle Beach. We went down to Merle's Inlet. We got on board a charter boat with a lot of people on it, and we went out somewhere in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. When the time came, everybody had been given a rod and reel. These were big old rods and reels, and I was a little old boy. That thing was huge. On that rod and reel at the bottom was a pyramid-shaped anchor, and then up so many feet were two hooks, and up so many more feet were two more hooks, and all I had to do was drop it over with the bait on the hooks over the edge when it came time. It came time. They stopped the boat. They blew the horn. Everybody went to the edge. The captain had seen in the fish finder something down below, and we hit a school of black bass, and everybody on the boat was pulling them up 2, 3, and 4 at a time. I was so small, maybe 8 years old, that I'd get them to the water's top, and then Dad would put his pole down, and he'd bring them up and start taking them off. At some point, Dad just baited the hooks. I dropped them in the water, and it was a great day. It was a great day. Now, I didn't take them off the hook. I was afraid of them because I'm a city boy. But he took them off the hook, and then they brought buckets out there, and by the time we got back to shore, the captain had radioed ahead. All these people showed up, and they made deals with all of us. And so somebody took all of our fish, they cleaned them, they iced them down, and we came back 2 hours later, and we paid for them and had them, and we took them home and had the biggest fish fry later we ever had. It was a happy day. It was a good day. It was an exciting day. It's never happened again. I've always wished it would, but on all those other trips, it never happened. And it didn't happen for Peter that night either. And it probably hadn't happened for Peter and James and John and Andrew for a long time. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had a very bad day all night long. They had fished all night long. And they hadn't caught any fish. And now they were cleaning their nets, getting ready for their next trip. And they were putting their gear up, and they were tired, and it was time to go take a nap. And Jesus comes along and says, "Let's go out fishing, Peter." The carpenter goes to the fisherman and says, "Let's go fishing. Let me show you how it's done." Can you imagine Peter's perspective? This is what Jesus asked Peter to do. He said, "Let me get in your boat to start with. Let me go out just a little bit to start with. And then we'll go out a little bit further to the deep later. And then we're going to cast our nets out, and you're going to be amazed at what happened." Last week, week before last, at the Sight and Sound Theater, they portrayed this whole story. I can't even begin to explain how they showed real boats being behind those fake seas and then the fish swimming and going into the net and filling it up. I was reading about this, the net. The net in this day, they believe, were rounded nets with anchors on them, and they were like nets like you catching butterflies, but they're huge. And all these guys in this day would do is just throw them in the water. The weights would take the net down, and then they would pull the rope, and it would swoosh it under and come back up with whatever they caught. And it nearly capsized two boats, what Jesus did that day. According to Peter, Jesus was doing everything wrong. See, according to the world, the church is doing everything wrong. Peter said, you know, you don't catch fish in the daytime, you catch it at night. Peter would say, no, you don't go out to the deep to catch the fish, you catch them in the shallow water while they're moving. And Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't know anything about fishing. Peter was the expert. He was the fisherman. And I can imagine that Peter was saying, what a waste of my time, but nevertheless, Lord, if that's what you want, we'll go. Now, I can imagine if Jesus wanted to be a little snarky that day, and he never was, really. But if he wanted to be, he could have said, Peter, have you not seen me heal the sick? Peter, have you not seen me cast out demons in the name of God? Peter, have you not seen what I've been doing for others? And then he might say, Peter, do you not think I can help you fish better if you just let me? And I think Peter's response might have been, like most of us, fine, Lord, just fine. You know, or maybe one of those, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, it's not what I want, but I guess that's what you want, so I'm going to be faithful today. You know, you've done it. I've done it. You might have said, whatever, Lord. But that's what Jesus wanted. And I want to ask you today, what has Jesus asked you to do? That you said, I'm not ready for that. I can't go there. I can't forgive that person. I can't get over the past. I can't move on. Lord, you're going to have to give me a break on this one. Peter, let down your net. There's two indications that Peter's faith was beginning to grow in this story. One, and they're both in verse 5. One, when he says, Master. Now, if he hadn't called him Master, what would he have called him? I don't know. But the word Master comes from a Greek word that means authoritative. And so Peter is saying to Jesus, you are my authority. I recognize your power, and I'm going to give to you what you need, what you're asking me. And the other indication is he says, you know, I fished all night, Lord. I'm tired. My nets are clean. I'm ready for tomorrow's work, but nevertheless, that may be simple, but that's all we sometimes need to do to experience the miracles of God. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Now, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is your message for the day. Peter's response to the overwhelming catch that morning or that day. Number one, he pulled it in. It says they caught such a large number of fish. Whenever we, by faith, even the simple faith of nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to do what you said and not what my heart wants me to do, we'll experience the miracle of God taking over in that situation. He pulled in the catch. Then he had so many, he called for help. He said, look, there's a need here. We're going under. So he signaled for the partners, it says. And then he shared that success. He said, he didn't say, come out here and help me with my catch. Fill your boats too. This is for everybody. I'm excited. Look at what's happening. And then he turned to Jesus and he looked at him and he worshiped. He fell on his knees and he worshiped Jesus. When's the last time in this midst of whatever you're doing throughout this week or last week or the week before, when was the last time you recognized the presence of God in your life at that moment and you paused and worshiped Him? It's something we ought to all do. It's something we should do and we ought to be willing to. And he finally, it says he confessed his sin. He says, I am a simple man. When we recognize this, when we keep this part of our lives in perspective and realize we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, in that while we were sinning like that, Christ died for us, that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. If we recognize these things in our lives, our perspective and our outlook and our personal interaction encounter with the world, it changes. Remember, I've said, because someone said it to me, we ought to be living a life in which people see how we live, and sooner or later they say, why? Why don't you do like I do? Why do you do like you do? What makes you believe in God? And you ought to be able to answer from your own experience. So I'm going to close this. This is it. Nobody deserves God's grace. Peter didn't deserve God to come back to him. He'd already been called once, and apparently he'd gone back to fishing. He didn't deserve Christ coming to him a second time, but he did. He said, Peter, I see in you a fisher of men. And so he didn't deserve it, but he got it anyway. It's called grace, unmerited favor. And what Peter learned that day is something that we need to remember and learn if we haven't. God is interested in every one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us is precious in his eyes. We are created in his image. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are made to live forever, but it's our sin that keeps that from happening. And we have to confess it. He confessed his sin. I'm a sinful man, and I'm standing in the presence of God. And until we do that, we cannot know him or experience those miracles, so that we, when we experience them, can worship him and know his presence in our lives. But when we do, we will realize that God's love is overwhelming, and that our boat will be filled with his presence, and that we will have to share it with others and say, come and see what God has done. And we will fall on our knees and recognize he is holy, 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 and we're not, but because of his grace, we can be, and we will be one day. What about you? What about you? How many times does Jesus have to call you? How many times does he have to beckon you, come, follow me? How many times does he have to say to us, you need to be out here being fishers of men? Whether they ever come to this church, that's not the question. The question is, will they go to heaven and live an eternity in a forgiven state that only Christ can give them? Peter, don't be afraid anymore. You're going to be fishers of men. Let's pray. Lord, what a tremendous story. And we know the story of Peter. He was rough. And he was growing, though, and when the Holy Spirit came and filled him on the day of Pentecost, he was ready. May our lives be just as ready as we bow in your presence, confess our sin, call upon you to save us, and send us out these doors to be fishers of men and women and children. For the kingdom of God, we pray. Amen. I surrender all. Peter had to surrender it all. It says there that he left his boat behind. He left the nets and the fishing gear and everything that had to do with fishing. He left it there and he surrendered it all and he followed Jesus. That's all Christ calls us to do. You're afraid? Jesus said, Peter, don't be afraid. just follow me. Let's stand. Let's sing. If you need to make a decision for Christ to follow him today, I want to talk to you about that and pray with you about that. But whatever God says, follow him, not me or anybody else. Let's sing. Let's pray as we're dismissed. Thank you so much, Father, for the joy of being able to worship you today in the spirit of Christ, as your Holy Spirit just envelops us in this place. Thank you for letting us celebrate this decision to receive Christ into her life and to see the joy on her face. What a joy. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing us in so many ways. Make us to be reminded every day that we are fishers of men and women and boys and girls and youth and children all around this world, and that the blessings of that fishing will be overwhelming. And we will praise you for all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless.